Welcome to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host, and we're a group of law enforcement professionals that talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. And let me introduce the crew. Guys, if you don't mind waving for the video portion of our show, yes, his first time on satellite radio, he's back, Major Travis Yates, also a.k.a. Dr. Travis Yates with travisyates.org. He tours the country talking about the courageous police leader. And in case some of you guys are scratching your head saying, what in the world is a courageous police leader? Because, you know, there is an absence of courageous police leaders around the country. Travis is trying to change that, going door to door, state to state to make that happen. So thank you so much for being back on the show, Dr. Travis. Also, we've got two lieutenants. Don't hold that against me. I can't help what the rank was they held before they left. But we have Lieutenant Jeff Wininger. And you can see the book in the background. It's called On Thin Ice, his new book coming out. You can get more information about that at jeffwininger.com. And again, the name of the book is On Thin Ice, coming out soon. And the other lieutenant from LAPD, Chuck Springer, he's back on the show. I will point out that he has migrated to Florida. He just couldn't stand it. He had to come over, and he got smart. He came and joined me over in Florida. So thank you so much for making it all the way across the country, Chuck. And now you're living the dream. So thanks, gentlemen, for being on the show. A shout out to our sponsors. You know, our title sponsor is Gulls at Gulls.com. Compliant Technologies, our satellite sponsor. Thanks to them, we are on satellite radio now. Also, GunLearn.com, BlueTheGold.com, MyMedicare.live, Safeguard Recruiting. They are our streaming sponsor, helping us reach 1.5 million. million people right now. And also Two Bells. They built a new online store at leoroundtable.com, and Two Bells at Two Bells, that's the number two, then BELLES.com. They've got it going on. So check out our online store. And hey, we don't make a penny off of anything we sell in the store. We're just trying to get our gear out there. So check that out at leoroundtable.com. A shout out to Brian Burns for the Tampa Free Press at tampafp.com, and Ray Dietrich, former lawman.com, lawofficer.com. Thanks to all those guys for helping make this show happen. Now we're going to whet the appetite. I'll tell you, we've got some amazing stories to talk about. And I tell you, I mean that, and stories with some video components as well. The first one, charges are dropped for three officers in the Christian Glass death after filming training video. So that is one of the things they have to do. It was an arrangement they made, but a Christian Glass, of course, is the guy that was in the car, he broke down, and he was having a mental crisis. And of course the troops come out. I tell you, we had three or four different agencies involved, and they ended up shooting and killing him. And the optics were just horrible in that one. Then we have another story. Man opens a fire after declaring war on cops. I tell you, I found the video portion of it very entertaining up until we had a cop shot, and the cop survived. Unfortunately, the bad guy did too, but this is just a total disaster what happened there. Then we got barricaded person killed by Anchorage police as multiple hostages walk free from the hotel SWAT standoff. And I mean, there's a ton of kids, just what, four or five kids and a mom involved. It's crazy. Then we got Missouri man sentenced for a hoax IRS active shooter call, an example of what not to do to your girlfriend when you guys are having a fight. We got a body cam video shows when a suspect shoots a trooper on I-88 in Duanesburg back in 2023. Ouch, that's dramatic. We got Newport Beach police officer fatally shoots a motorcyclist who stole his taser. And then drone footage shows children armed with a gun. And Bernalillo County sheriffs, they consider charging the parents. And that's in New Mexico. So, guys, yeah, we got some wild stories here. So if you guys are game for it, let's start off with the first update article. KDVR.com, charges dropped for three officers in the Christian Glass death after filming training video, which is one thing they have to do. So we're in Denver right now. Charges dropped for three more officers in the 2022 death of Christian Glass. We all remember the, I'm going to call him a kid. I mean, he's an adult male, but young, and his car broke down and got stuck in like a ditcher. He was in crisis, and he called 911, I believe it was. And then we have a bunch of agencies that came out. So the spokesperson for the Colorado Judicial Branch confirmed to Fox 31 on Wednesday that charges of failure to intervene in the excessive force of another law enforcement officer, that they were dropped by for the Idaho Springs police officer Brittany Morrow, also for the Georgetown police officer Timothy Collins, and also for Colorado State Patrol trooper Ryan Benny. And similar charges were also dropped for two other officers late last year. Now, Fox 31 spoke with Colorado's 5th Judicial District Attorney. And this is the girl that made the decision, Heidi McCollum. And on Wednesday night, they learned that the charges were dismissed as part of a plea agreement. The DA said that there were a few factors that led to this plea agreement going down. And it included the fact that Andrew Buen, a former Clear Creek County deputy, he was convicted of a lesser charge not too long ago. And he was originally charged with something more serious. And it led prosecutors to think that a jury would not find these remaining individuals guilty of the charges that they were actually filing against them. The DA also noted that they're coming up on the third anniversary of the death of Christian Glass, and the families, it's just taking its toll on the family. So the charges stem from the June 2022 shooting when his car broke down, Christian Glass, that is. We have Clear Creek County coming out there, and he calls for help. And he tells dispatchers he has possible weapons in his car, knives and a hammer, but the family said that he was an amateur geology trip that he was taking. Several law enforcement officers respond. We got body-worn camera footage out the wazoo. Clear Creek County Sheriff's Office deputies, they break a window in the vehicle. They shoot him with beanbags and try to use a taser on him, and then a deputy ends up shooting him 6 times. And that was because the passenger window behind the driver, that the kid was in the driver's seat, breaches the window. The kid's got a knife in his hand, and he's going back to stab that guy. And he kind of left one of the other officers. I mean, you can talk about tactics all day, but if the officer would not have, you know, taken the fatal shot against the kid at that point, there's a good chance that the cop breaking the window in the back seat would have gotten stabbed. So, you know, it shouldn't have maybe gotten to that point, but it was just a bad situation. More than a dozen officers faced charges in the case. That's a lot. Now, the plea deal, it was publicized on Wednesday. Here's the two parts of it. 3 individuals will be given additional training on de-escalation techniques, mental health response competencies, and critical incident training. So it tells me that they're not going to get out of law enforcement. They're going to keep their jobs. And then secondly, all 3 have completed interviews to be used in training to be distributed to all law enforcement officers as an example of what not to do. The 3 were asked 3 questions. What went wrong and why, and what would you do differently, and what has been the personal impact on you? The training video will be produced by the Colorado State Patrol and be distributed after that. And then the only outstanding case left is Officer Randy Williams from Georgetown Police. And of course, former Clear Creek County Sheriff's Office Deputy Andrew Buen was convicted of criminally negligent homicide in the death and was sentenced to 3 years in the Department of Corrections. So there you have it, guys, the full gamut. This is probably the last thing we're gonna see on this case, I would imagine. Any commentary on this or any surprises about the plea deal? I don't know that I've really seen one like this before, but it sounds like they're trying to prevent a tragedy like this from happening, you know, again, because of the training component or the training aspect of all the stuff going down. So if not, guys, we'll get hop. Oh, Jeff Winninger, go ahead.
You know, it seems to me that the family is they don't want the officers' heads served up on a platter. That they seem to want to try to avoid a similar circumstance happening in the future to ensure that the law enforcement agencies get the training, the de-escalation training required to help them perform, hopefully in a more successful manner to have a better outcome. I think we did cover this video a number of months ago.
We covered it on the show.
Yeah, and it was... you know, it was a long, drawn-out attempt to get this guy to comply.
You remember the cop in the hood pointing his gun at, you know, through the windshield at the at the bad guy. I believe that's the guy that ended up doing the fatal shoot. Was the guy standing on the hood?
Right. And you know, it didn't end well. And you know, unfortunately, it was an escalation of force that led up to this incident being resolved the way that it was. But, you know, only like 15 to 18% of the 18,000 plus law enforcement agencies have de-escalation training. And I suspect that they don't. And the family is just hoping that this something similar can be avoided in the future. Now, the reality is you have to understand that sometimes this can't be avoided. You know, the officers can't dictate the actions that the suspect is taking that may then warrant the use of deadly force. Sure, there's plenty to be critical of here. There's plenty to learn from this incident, but you know, I'm pleased to see that it's not being held. These officers aren't having to proceed through the criminal process, and it's being adjudicated and handled in a different manner.
Agreed. Lieutenant Chuck.
Yeah, this is the first time I saw that video. I was not aware of this incident prior to you sending this out, Chip. little disturbing that they tried to gaffle up this many officers criminally. You know, how do you intervene from a guy deciding to shoot? Once, you know, what are you going to jump on the guy after he's shot already? You know, I'm not going to comment on the OIS itself, but this is kind of a message, and I've said this before to everybody that's out there actively in law enforcement. They're looking to grab as many people as they can when something bad happens. And, you know, to charge these guys for failing to intervene, I don't know what the rationale is. Was there a failure to intervene prior as these tactics evolved, or as this incident evolved? Or is there an argument that they should have somehow prevented the OIS from happening in the first place? You know, I'm not totally familiar with the case enough to answer those questions. But again, a message to everybody out there in law enforcement, you know, even if you're the last guy showing up right before something bad happens, they're expecting you to be able to stop something bad from happening. And that's just not always practical when it comes to law enforcement.
You know, watching this video, I'm very familiar with it. You know, guys that hear the story, take your time. You know, when you got a guy, bad guy, or let's just say he's non-compliant. So I'm going to call him a bad guy. He's got a mental crisis, but he was not cooperating with police and getting rid of the knife and everything. But, you know, there are situations where you can just take your time and you don't have to rush. And the other downside, they had a lot of guys from different agencies showing up. And Jeff always talks about having an incident commander, the person on scene giving commands and stuff. And we really didn't have the benefit of that at this one either. So a lot of things could have been done differently. I'm glad they're going to be taking the moves to learn from this, because so much can be learned from it. It's time for first commercial break, guys. Stick with us. We'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about our title sponsor, Gauls at Gauls.com. And, you know, as police officers, we know that you guys can buy gear from a lot of different places, and especially if you're going to look for it online. But I want to remind you guys about the importance of supporting the companies that actually support law enforcement. Now, I don't know of a better example of a company like that than Gauls at Gauls.com. Even their motto is proud to serve those who serve, which of course they do in spectacular fashion. Now, they walk the talk by supporting dozens of organizations that are focused, just like this radio show. So when you're looking for gear, support our title sponsor and go to thegauls.com, and they've got a deal for you. For the loyal listeners of the show, you can use radio code RADIO15. So it's RADIO15 for 15% off your next purchase, and that is good until June the 31st at thegauls.com. And I'll tell you, take advantage of that. We also give away a couple of Gauls gift cards every week on the show. So Gauls.com, go there, gift cards, type in the Radio 15 for your first order. Welcome back to Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com. We just got done talking about an update story, the Christian Glass shooting, and we've got they've done a plea deal with three remaining officers. So I think that we're just about done. We got one officer, we're waiting to go to the trial on that, and that's about it. And Facebook users, thanks for being on the show. Appreciate it. I know we got a new listener, Scotch Bradley, that's on Facebook right now. And we are going to be doing, I believe, Jeff, we're going to be doing a Two Bells giveaway as well for our streamers. So that's $20 off your order at leoroundtable.com. And that is by Two Bells. So if you want to type in the number 2 and the letter B for Bell, so that's just the number 2 and the letter B, give us your email address. You'll be automatically entered in to win that free $20 gift card. And that's exciting stuff, guys. So stick with us. If you guys are ready, we have a story with a video component that we need to get to. So, and it's a harrowing one. So did you have anything you want to add on the first story, Jeff? Or?
Yeah, you know, I think it's worth saying, you know, to piggyback on what Chuck was saying, you know, to look at this, it seemed that they are losing credibility because they are overextending their reach and charging these officers. I mean, they even charged someone that was a supervisor that was contacted via phone who authorized them to break the window. I mean, how are you going to criminally charge somebody who, you know, in that circumstance? And then they admittedly, one of the reasons why they agreed to the plea deal was that they realized that the charges that were filed against them, they were not likely to be successful in court on. So, it, you know, there is something to be said in regards to what Chuck was talking about, that that's quite an overreach in regards to charging these officers.
All right. I love it. Thank you. Well, guys, moving along, we've got another story coming up here. and it's a doozy. Now, there's a video component to this. So look, it's hard to have a good news story of the day without there being a video component. We realize that a lot of our listeners are Audible, so radio station, podcast. So please stay loyal to the outlets that are bringing you this good quality show. And in return for that, we'll describe in great detail what's going on if we cover a video component so that you don't feel like you're being left out. But if we cover something like that and you absolutely have to see that video, all you have to do, our Rumble channel the very next day at 9 o'clock in the morning, Eastern time, producer Will puts up a copy of the live show after he embeds every video that we talk about as we're talking about it. He even puts pictures of the good guys and bad guys that pop up as we're talking about them as well. So you'll see our live show clearly marked, but then you'll see one with a thumbnail on it. That is the post-production version that has all these things embedded into it. That's what you're going to look at. And of course, they come out Tuesday through Saturday at 9 o'clock in the morning. So on this one, it's on a YouTube channel called EWU Body Cam. It's the only place I could find it. Man opens fire after declaring war on cops.
Okay, well, Dan, you have a felony warrant.
Felony warrant for what? You didn't even have to answer the door. You didn't answer the door because you illegally entered my house.
I didn't illegally enter your house.
Stop screaming, Dan. He has nothing.
Yep,
91-71. He's just pissed. Danny!
We'll take 7-0 here. We got an uncooperative male refusing to answer the
Let me go grab him.
Sounds good, Marshal.
Okay.
Despite Vicky's efforts, Daniel refuses to come out.
I told you not to go through the door, Vicky. You killed me.
Danny, I will bail you out.
You killed me, Vicky. You don't have to open the door.
I can hear him banging stuff around him.
Right.
I don't know if there's weapons, but it's sound right, whatever it is. All right.
Just heads up, guys. I don't need rounds going through that door at you guys.
Danny, come out!
Hey, I'm going to defend myself. Are you ready for the sack?
He's defending himself. No, please don't hurt my son.
Let's go.
An officer fires non-lethal rounds beneath the door, and in an instant, the scene erupts into chaos and gunfire.
If County can step it up, please.
I'm hit bad. Give me out.
It's my son.
It's the pepper ball.
No. Stop my son.
It's the.
I'm down. I'm hit bad. Give me out.
Get out of here.
Officer Sheik, after suffering multiple gunshot wounds.
Now, bad guy's name is Daniel Lauren Holmgren Jr. It's the White Bear Lake Police Department in Minnesota. I think they're somewhere near the Minneapolis, St. Cloud area. So, you know, the first 21 seconds, they kind of whet your appetite, and it's just a consolidated effort in video. On you've got basically got a grown man living with I'm assuming he made reference to her being his mom and stuff, so it looks like he's living with mom, and the cops go there to arrest this guy on some kind of a DV warrant, but they're not being completely upfront about it, which is smart. They knock on the door repeatedly. It's like in an apartment, and finally a woman answers, which ends up being our bad guy's mother. And she tells them that he's in there, and he gets so toasted at her. And they say that they're doing, the cop said, yeah, I've been out here before. I'm telling him, give him my name. I'm sure he'll remember me. I just want to clear some stuff up real quick. And cop's being pretty cool, but you can hear the grown man kid has locked himself in the bedroom, and he doesn't want the cops to come in. He's screaming at mom, and screaming at the top of his lungs and stuff. So then they realize, they start asking for more cops to show up. So now they got a small apartment filled with cops. They finally get mom to leave. And so they kick her out. Remember, it's a felony DV warrant, domestic violence warrant. They're getting ready to try to force this guy out. So one of the cops has a less lethal pepper ball gun, and he takes it and he holds it up underneath the bottom of the bedroom door where there's like a little crack, and he just like boom, 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 boom. He just like rapid fires, a dozen of those suckers maybe in there, backs away. And then he picks up the radio to talk to dispatch. And right when he does that, this dude inside unloads with a firearm, blowing holes to the door and stuff, and hits one of the cops who goes down, and they got to like carry him, and he's got to go to the hospital and stuff. And they finally call in SWAT, and they use gas in order to get the adult male kid that lives in that room, get him out. So he ended up surviving, and the cop ends up surviving as well. And so it's an extremely chaotic scene. I'd love to get your take on it, guys, because it's just, it's so, we've been to these things and it's just so hilarious to watch this thing go down. There's certainly things that, you know, that could have been done differently. It's always easy, Monday morning quarterback too. But Travis Shates, any flashbacks from Tulsa when you watch this thing?
Well, you're right about one thing, Chip. I mean, it's easy for us to sit here in our nice little homes and talk about this, right? But I think that's why basic tactics and basic things we all know. Everyone on this call knows how dangerous doorways are, people behind doorways. And, you know, we talk about hindsight bias a lot and how people judge law enforcement after the fact. Well, the truth is we have our own hindsight bias. Like the last thing we expect is somebody to fire rounds on the other side of the door. But that's why we have these basic tactics where we don't expose ourselves in front of doors. We don't expose ourselves in front of car doors, which we'll see a video later about that. And so, yeah, I mean, I like the tactic of trying to use the less lethal and trying to, you know, do that underneath the door. But, man, we've got to get away from that. We've got to get away from that door, right? And I'm sure that that officer for the rest of his career will always remember to do that.
Agreed. Did anyone else enjoy the video? I mean, we got some other videos that are pretty wild, but this, it put me right back on several scenes that I've been at in the past. And it just, you know, for the moment I heard the adult male man child, you know, screaming in the background at mom for letting the cops in and stuff, I was having flashbacks.
Yeah. I mean, I think the officers did a pretty good job trying to communicate with them. They were patient, you know, they weren't screaming at the guy. They gave him plenty of time and opportunity to cooperate. I'd be a little curious as to what kind of workup they did on this kid before they ever went there. You know, did they run him to see if there's a firearm registered in his name? You know, there's really, did they ask them? I don't know if they ever asked the mother if there were any weapons.
Well, hold that thought. So commercial break, guys. We'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about Compliant Technologies at ComplianTechnologies.com. They're committed to providing non-lethal solutions to help officers gain the upper hand safely and rapidly in a humane, low optics manner, utilizing their CD3 conductive distraction and de-escalation technology. So remember that name, CD3. Now, their flagship program or product that we all know by now, it's my favorite, the glove. It's helped officers tens of thousands of times with no injuries. And yes, you heard that correctly. I said no injuries. The glove has actually achieved non-lethal status in an arena that is predominantly only can offer less lethal results. And when it comes to weapons retention, transitioning to a sidearm or conducted energy weapon, the glove at ComplianTechnologies.com, they virtually eliminate weapons confusion. So stay ahead of the game with Compliant Technologies and the revolutionary CD3 that hundreds of agencies have already turned to nationwide. And friends, take it from me, when it comes to safety, this is one of the most common sense, hands-on solutions that's ever come along. Go to ComplianTechnologies.com today and tell them that Chip sent you, ComplianTechnologies.com. Now it's time to talk about Blue the Gold at BlueTheGold.com. If you're struggling with the ins and outs and warrantless searches and seizures, or if you're worried about the liability in case you get it wrong, say hello to BlueTheGold.com. They translate search and seizure doctrines into clear, straightforward concepts that any officer can relate to, plus give the training for free thanks to BlueTheGold.com's free weekly webinars. Now, coming up May 14th, it's Anonymous Tips. Sign up at BlueTheGold.com today and join thousands of your peers in blue and step up your legal game, because frankly, you and your agency cannot afford not to. BlueTheGold.com. Welcome back to Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com. Yes, we are on satellite radio right now. So excited, our second week on satellite radio. So we just got done talking about a story where we have, let's just call him what he is, a man child. He's still living with mom. And well, he was still living with mom. He's in the slammer right now. But and they ended up shooting a cop. And we were kind of going over that whole scenario, how that thing went down. Any more commentary on that story, gentlemen? If not, we can move on to the next one. We have so many stories today that are just so far out there. It is just it's just crazy. And we have I'll let you guys look at. We got some good questions that are coming up. Catherine Magasa and some other people, you know, are typing in questions on the stream right now here during the live show. So I'll let you guys check out that while I go to the next story. This also has a video component. It's at rumble.com. Now it's our favorite law enforcement video channel called This Is Butter. They have the best videos there. So we have a barricaded person killed by Anchorage police as multiple hostages walk free from a hotel SWAT standoff.
I know.
Rifle and shield up.
Go for the hinges now.
Hinges are on that side.
We're on the
breach. I'm breaking the door.
Shoot through the door.
Breach! Breach! Hell breach!
Hell breach!
Tools! You got tools!
Back up! You got it.
Drop the gun. Don't do it.
Come on. Got it.
I got the gun.
Work right away. We're good, suspect down.
This is crazy. We have four children taking us hostages and the adult female. I have questions about when this went down, whether the officers had time to do something before we had the big standoff. And let's get into this. The officer involved shooting, it happened on February the 21st and involved 41-year-old Papaya Lapoy Aliwa, I'll just call him bad guy, and Anchorage Police Officer Jordan Barak and Officer Thomas Frenjul. Now, this confrontation occurs on the second floor room of a Hampton Inn hotel, according to a hotel guest. And we have responding Anchorage police officers. They speak to a person of interest connected to a suspicious vehicle that's in the parking lot. Now, the agency review said the vehicle that our bad guy was driving, it recently eluded police. And when authorities confronted him, he pointed a gun at police officers and then he barricaded himself in the hotel room. He took a woman and her four children hostage and he shot at police officers through the hotel door. Now, when all this stuff is going down and I have my show notes and stuff, you know, when the officers get there, you know, we've got an open door and they're, you know, conversing with this guy. The suspect, you know, he's the owner of the vehicle that already fled from police previously, but there's a woman and children in the room with him. And at the 3:39 mark, the suspect tells the police not to enter the room, but you can see him and he's threatening to shoot them. And he produces a gun while he grabs the woman and four children as hostages. Now, the cops are right there, and they have their guns pointed at him as well when this is going on. But the door to the room is still open. The cops are in the hallway. Now, the suspect starts yelling for someone to close the door, and then the door closes from the inside. I'm assuming it was maybe one of the kids, but I don't know. Maybe you guys picked up on more than I did. And now we've got the standoff, right, in a barricaded situation. We jump to 6:31, and SWAT's preparing to do a forced entry into the room, and it sounds like you hear at 10:30, you know, you hear like shots being fired. It sounds like they move the breach in the door and they're holding the shield. So a ballistic shield, and the officer charges into the room and you see the bad guy. He's on top, the woman and an infant, and he's using them as human shields. Officer does one shot, boom, ends that little problem. What do you guys think about this? It is so dynamic, goes down. We rarely get glimpses like this in the stuff that goes down like this. And a lot of time, you know, when you have SWAT involved and stuff, you know, you just don't, there's really no good video with SWAT. So this is kind of nice that we've got a decent video where the guy's got a ballistic shield and he takes that one fatal shot in the bad guy and stuff, and all the good people survive. Commentary on this, we got about 7 minutes, guys, before we go to our next commercial break. Chuck, you want to take this one? We appreciate it, Chuck. We're on pins and needles.
I mean, as far as, you know, how it ends, I don't have a problem with it. You know, it once it became a barricade, it became a barricade, and they ultimately did what they had to do. I don't see any issue with, you know, the tactics or the OIS itself at that point. You know, when you mention how it started, you know, they're there, the door is open. Should they have never allowed the door to close? I would argue that, yeah, maybe you probably shouldn't have, but it's a split second decision. Once the door's closed, now you're stuck with what you have at that point. It's kind of unclear how this thing evolves, you know, and I'd like to know, what was the guy evading the police for in the first place? You know, what kind of, was the suspect known at all, or was this an unknown suspect when they got to the hotel room? You know, it's kind of unclear that, you know, it mentioned that the witness saw two people leaving the van and going into the hotel room. How did they identify that particular room? So there's a lot of what ifs for me, obviously, that the investigation would answer, but you can't ascertain from the video itself. But I don't have significant critique with what the officers did all around.
And I, you know, and reviewing the report too, I said that there was, well, we had the guy with the shield that looked like he took a single shot, but the article says that we had two officers, Farrakh and Franjul. They each, you know, they both shot and killed the bad guy. So we have two officers that shot. I do know, I mean, I've got a decent amount of experience. I used to go through all the hotel motel parking lots. And when I saw a car back to a spot, I'd always get out of my cruiser and I'd go run that tag, you know, and a good portion of the time I got a hit on that. But I'd always go to the office, and all those tags, they're always registered to the office, you know, where they're staying at. And I always could find out what room the bad guy is in, and then, you know, run the tag, run the owner of the tag, comes back with a hit on him for a warrant, whatever. I always know how to find that bad guy. So I suspect it's probably something along those lines that they found the bad guy. And I'm just glad, Travis, that the kids, oh my gosh, the woman and the kids, the door closing, and they had a good beat on the guy. I don't know. I just got a lot of questions about, maybe in hindsight, they would have done things differently. Maybe it was just a little fluid and they weren't, you know, expecting a kid to go up, or whoever it was, and close that door. I don't know.
I mean, my question is, what's going on at Hampton Inn? This is not a Days Inn, right? I mean, a Days Inn or Howard Johnson, I totally expect this to happen, right? That's why you go to those hotels. You get to spend half the money and get to see this happen live. But at Hampton Inn, are you kidding me? Or bad guys are upgrading for sure.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. So these are two stories back to back where we get a little glimpse over what police have to deal with. And I'm glad it worked out great. We got Catherine D. Magasa said SWAT did a great job. And thanks for your support. Holds the utmost respect for police officers who are out there today. Keep you guys in our prayers day in and day out. So
let's just talk about a scenario. And I would love Jeff or Chuck to weigh in. So you've got a guy behind a door with hostages, with a gun, with no active shooting. I mean, with no active shots. Is it a coin toss whether you go in immediately or whether you start negotiations as armed and barricaded? In my mind, it's probably a coin toss. Probably neither one is right or wrong. What's you guys' thoughts on it?
Well, they had intel coming through saying that someone, I think, I'm sure it had been an outside window, they saw him holding the gun to the adult woman's head.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
Yeah, that's before they made entry. Yeah, they got that info.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, unless it becomes an active shooter scenario, time is on your side.
Right.
And when you do decide to eventually make entry, you want to make sure that you're maximizing your ability to be successful. So you don't want to just all your efforts going through the primary entry where your team's going to be going through. You want to have to something to distraction, you know, have a flashbang going in. So the suspect is, the senses are being overloaded. So you're putting all the cards in your favor for this to end, you know, in an optimal way for you as a law enforcement agency. I was a little surprised that didn't happen. You know, a lot of times they have these connecting rooms, you know, pretend to, you know, do something to begin a breach on one of the connecting room doors when you're coming through another door, you put a flashbang through the window and, you know, but, you know, being on the second floor, it makes it a little challenging on what you can do from the exterior of the location. So, you know, the reality is whenever you have a successful outcome like this, it's difficult to be critical.
Yeah.
They did a very fine job where there was a great risk of things not going so well. So,
yeah, we could be having a totally different title on this story and covering it. So yeah, I'm glad. It's a lot to deal with, and it's not like these guys get calls like this every day too. So it really is easy to talk about this stuff, but you know, these cops may have calls like this maybe once in a career or maybe a handful of times, but this is not a daily scenario. So yeah,
right. And you know, when these guys are SWAT guys, and you know the way they're trained, it's different. When you're going in, when you have hostages like that, you may have to take rounds and not be able to return fire because you're not sure of your target because, you know, you got a child being held in front of the suspect and stuff. And it just raises the elevation of the stress involved. And it just emphasizes the superior training that these officers have to have these successful outcomes. So they performed quite admirably.
Well, thanks, guys. Good commentary. Good breakdown. We've got just under a minute before we take our next commercial break. So I'm going to go in and whet the appetite for the next story, at least anyhow. And we've got an update story. Tampa Free Press at TampaFP.com. Missouri man, he's sentenced for a hoax IRS active shooter call. A lot of people may not have a lot of sympathy for people that work for the IRS, but this is really, you should have sympathy for the woman involving this case. We're going to get to it. In just one second, I'm going to whet the appetite here. A Missouri man was sentenced to 3 years in federal prison, on Wednesday for making a false emergency call that led to an IRS employee being detained and a section of the IRS office being locked down. And there's a little female issue he had going on. Stick with us, guys. We'll be right back. All right, guys, you know, as law enforcement officers, we deal with guns every day, but it's what we don't know about them that gets us in the trouble. Injuries, civil lawsuits, accidental discharges, misidentifications, lost prosecutions, and, you know, even, even disciplinary issues. I mean, we all know about that. So gunlearn.com, though, they have your back. You can quickly become extremely firearm knowledgeable by simply learning 14 training modules from the convenience of your home or your office, or by attending a live seminar at gunlearn.com. You can also become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist like our very own Captain Brett Bartlett and attorney Ken Apianko. Now, the course has had huge success in raising the bar of firearm knowledge, and GunLearn has been a trusted source since 2011 by gun manufacturers, federal agencies, forensic organizations, and police departments nationwide. Now, if you have your own agency, your chief or sheriff, they've got a great deal for you. Dana Kelly, the founder, has got a way for you to host a seminar for absolutely no cost. It's a great opportunity. Go to GunLearn.com to get more information. Again, that is GunLearn.com. Welcome back to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. You know, we left off and I just whet the appetite with a new story. Missouri man sentenced for a hoax IRS active shooter call. So this guy was sentenced to 3 years in federal prison on Wednesday for making false emergency call that led to an IRS employee being detained and then part of the office being locked down. So Anthony M. Alford, 46 years old, he's going to be our bad guy. He got the sentence from U.S. District Court Judge Stephen Bowe. Following his prison term, he'll have to be on supervised release for 3 years, too. Now, according to court documents, on September the 10th, 2024, Alford, he places a 911 call to Kansas City, Missouri, falsely claiming that an individual identified as victim number one, a female, and also an employee of IRS, that she's armed with a firearm and threatening to carry out a shooting at the IRS building where she works at. So the hoax call prompts a dispatch of Kansas City police officers to the scene. When they get there, they coordinate with IRS security, Federal Protective Services officers, and they, based on the false report, the victim, the female, she ends up being detained, and they search her for weapons. And it leads to the lockdown of the B wing of the IRS building, and they make an announcement to the occupants, everybody there, that there's a possible active shooter. They tell everybody to stay in lockdown. So investigators determine that the victim, the female, that she's unarmed and that she actually had no intention of causing harm. And the female informed the investigators that she had been in a relationship with this Alford guy for approximately a month and that she was trying to end it. And she stated that Alford had not been violent, but she described his behavior as controlling, possessive, and jealous. And she said that she started getting numerous phone calls and messages from him the night before the incident and threatening messages earlier that morning, including one that stated that he's on the phone with IRS police, have fun when you get there, and another one that said, just wait until you get to work. So he was arrested on September the 25th of 2024, admitted to the investigators that the female had not made any threats to shoot up the IRS building, contradicting, of course, his 911 call. He stated that he had been drinking alcohol and that he was upset when he made the false report. Like, I guess that's his excuse. Who said criminals were the brightest guys? I know we're going. You're surprised that this guy didn't live in Florida, aren't you, Jeff? I can read that on your face right now.
Yeah. But, you know, unfortunately, we're seeing an increase of these swatting calls. And, from a national perspective, there's no database that captures them. So we don't know exactly how many there are in any given year, but they've been increasing in frequency since like 2019, and they estimate there's about 1,000 a year. And the significance of that is it can impact the people that are that get caught up in this, you know, they have the risk of being injured, potentially killed, and certainly have some type of psychological trauma as a result of the police response to what the officers that are dealing with the circumstances believe to be a righteous call. And that should really impact everybody or concern everybody to the extent that there's a cost associated with this. You're talking about on any given call, you're talking about $10,000 of taxpayers' money being spent for multiple reasons, you know, for the response of the personnel, for, you know, the therapy that people may have to receive and those sorts of things. So, you know, it's a huge issue and it's getting worse. So I'm glad to see this guy be held accountable.
Yeah, remind me to get your address when the show's over too, your physical address there. I'd like to get that. Hey, Travis.
Well, that, I mean, you know, that, you know, the only way I can even describe how to try to avoid this is, you know, the only service I'm aware of is officerprivacy.com. I know they're friends with a lot of people that come on the show, and Pete is a former law enforcement officer, and it's basically a service that takes your address off of public websites. People that are listening to this probably don't know this, but your home address is in 100 places online, and it takes significant work to remove those. And even when you remove those, they come back. And so I pay for this service that, you know, ensures that my home address isn't easily found. Now, not that law enforcement's getting swatted, but anybody that's a citizen can sign up for this type of service or another service to help them out. And you may not think that you could be a victim of this, but it only takes once, as Jeff said.
What's the name of that company again, Travis?
Officerprivacy.com.
Important stuff. All right, yeah. Guys, there you go. Hey, there have been, I got a little concerned. There have been talk show hosts that have had this stuff going on. One during a live broadcast. Don't think that I didn't call the people I know down at TPD dispatch and make sure they have protocol now on what they do. I mean, that's some scary stuff. So yeah, but there's a lot of conservative guys that are being hit and stuff. And yeah, so you never know. Well, guys, moving along, we got about 4.5 minutes. I think that we have enough time to cover this next one. There's a video component. It's at rumble.com. Again, our favorite law enforcement video channel called This Is Butter. We have body cam footage shows when suspect shoots a trooper on I-88 in Duanesburg in 2023.
Pulse 108, shots fired. DG64, I need assistance. Shots fired, mile post 108. Shots fired! Larry, be advised. But you're running short.
Albert, 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 Albert.
6-4 ComSec.
Wow. So let's get this thing started. It's in New York. So the incident happened June the 16th of 2023. New York State Police Trooper Richard Albert pulls a car over and he saw this car going over 100 miles an hour on the interstate. Trooper Albert, he's seen getting out of his cruiser. He approaches the vehicle, you know, and he's being cautious. There's tinted windows and he walks up not in front of the driver's window, but he's right when he gets around to the passenger door. It's a four door. He sees our bad guy, Nelson Troche, 32 years old. He sticks a handgun out the window, pointed at our trooper, starts firing. Trooper gets hit in the shoulder, runs back, gets distance, returns fire. He had minor injury in the shootout. And the trooper continues to fire back. The shooting causes a chain reaction collision because remember, we're on the interstate, right? So it's a passing pickup truck. He stops to avoid the gunfire. And then we got a big log truck, tractor trailer behind him, ends up rear-ending the truck. And it's just a mess. So our bad guy and his girlfriend, Alicia Errol, they attempt to get away. And the log truck driver apparently intentionally rams their vehicle to stop them. So then the bad guy and the girl, they get out, they flee on foot, and they try to carjack the truck that had been hit by the log truck and the pickup truck. And despite being injured, our trooper follows the pair, exchanges gunfire with them, and he ends up hiding in the median on the interstate. It's a grassy median, and the shots are going back and forth for like minutes. He's like screaming for backup. They force the driver of the pickup truck out, attempt to carjack it. I wasn't sure whether they drove it. It was so far. It was far enough away that made me think that maybe they got it to go a short distance before it just wouldn't go any further. And then the guy and the girl, they end up running into a wooded area. And when the troopers move in on the location where they went into in the wood area, the bad guy ended up dying by suicide. So I'm assuming he shot himself. So that's the way that goes down. Commentary on this one, guys. Another just a wild, wild video. Chuck Springer.
No, I think the guy does a pretty good job. I mean, it's pretty straightforward. The guy starts shooting at you when you're walking up. And it's a typical traffic stop. I'm a little surprised that he's doing it on the freeway on the driver's side. I hated traffic stops on the freeway. And I almost exclusively went to the passenger side, but that's just that. The only other really critique or the thing that I might suggest is he breaks cover and he's really out there in the open without any kind of cover. I probably in hindsight would have gone back to my cruiser and pull the cruiser around the log truck onto the medium if you're going to start approaching them. At that point, you got a little bit of time on your side. Wait for your backup to get there unless your suspects are doing something that's endangering somebody else. But, I mean, that's a debrief critique, and that's about it. I think he does a good job.
You know, there was one thing missing, Jeff, that I didn't see, and I kept waiting. He finally went back. Yeah, rifle. Yeah. Right. He probably went rifle. Back to the rear yeah. of his cruiser. I'm thinking, okay, great. He's going to pop the trunk. I mean, I wouldn't want it in the trunk, but he's going to get the rifle. No long gun. Crap. It would have saved the day, you know, but.
If he had one, you know.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah. And I'm sure he didn't, you know, but yeah, I was disappointed.
Yeah. I concur with Chuck. I was surprised he went up on the driver's side, not only because of the potential threat that all the vehicles pose to you, but, you know, the reality is if you come up on the passenger side, you know, it's a less natural movement that you're. So if you see someone turning, if they're anticipating you coming up on the driver's side, this isn't going to key you off necessarily until that you see that gun. Where if someone's turning this way, once they turn that way, it's unnatural for the traffic stop, and it's already a key to you that there's something to be hanked up about.
Well, great, great show, gentlemen. Thank you guys so much for being on it. Stick with us. Don't go anywhere yet. But again, Travis Yates, Jeff Wininger. And don't forget jeffwininger.com to check out that book coming out on Thin Ice, and also Chuck Springer, guys. Appreciate you guys doing it. But I usually take this opportunity to talk about the Wounded Blue at thewoundedblue.org. Lieutenant Randy Sutton's 501c3 that's helping cops out in a world of hurt that are suffering from things like PTSD and other issues. Actually, Travis Yates, Dr. Yates, that's on the show right now, he's working with the Wounded Blue as well. I believe you're on the board of directors still. So excellent. So they also have that special going for $1,000. You not only get a really cool looking guitar, but you get it signed by one of your favorite country music artists, and that is at Guitars, the number 4, cops.com. So make sure you check that out, guys. And hey, great organization. They're not going to embarrass you. So if you're looking for people to get involved with, like I personally support the Wounded Blue monthly, there are, you know, they're not going to embarrass you. You'd be very happy and you can sleep better at night. A shout out to our sponsors, Galls, Compliant Technologies, Gunlearn.com, BlueTheGold.com, Medicare.life, Safeguard Recruiting, and Two Bells. Also, TampaEP.com, FormerLawman.com, and LawOfficer.com. Thanks for your support, guys. We'll look for you back tomorrow, 12 noon Eastern.